The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Good afternoon, Santa Cruz. This is Richard Quigley doing my Thursday afternoon stint with you for the next 42 minutes or so, talking about one thing and another. Never know what. This is a little call-in talk show. I'm going to freeform it a bit today. So if you've got something that's really pressing, bugging the fire out of you, and you can find a way to fit it in, give me a shout. We'll beat it around. I've got some stuff I want to do, but I usually end up getting my own way about that. Call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since anybody faxed me. I don't know if I'm failing to read those on the air or acknowledge them or whatever, but I do read your faxes as best I can fit it in with the conversation. So you can fax it 475-2967, and that way we can talk about you without you having the ability to respond. That's always fun. I like those unfair battles. Well, as advertised, I was going to get to it later, but I'll go ahead and break it out now just because it's there. The Washington Times had a comment to make. Or an observation to make, the headline on this little tidbit is, reads from the Department of Duh. Says, young women who are drafted into the Israeli military will be barred from most combat duties because of a medical study that has determined they are, after all, the weaker sex. Well, I knew that. It's just, it all depends on what you mean by weak. But, with all the excitement that's going on, this big special that's coming up this weekend and all the neat stuff that they're going to be doing, the glorification of Jessica and all the rest of that. Women in combat. What a ridiculous idea. Not to take anything away from you ladies, but come on, you know, it's difficult enough, I think, in times of war to be watching out for yourself. But a lot of guys, in spite of the best efforts of the women's movement, still have a tendency to open the door when a lady approaches. Realize that we don't run around the car and open the car doors for y'all anymore, but that's of your choosing. I never did understand the women's rights movement. Equal rights, equal rights. Why did you want off that pedestal, I say? So much nicer world when it was all respectful to women. And now it's, you're just afraid. You're afraid. I mean, I swear, as an old guy, I got to tell you, I get nervous. I get real nervous when I'm standing there holding a door. And even in situations where it wouldn't matter the gender of the person, you know, I feel like I need to let go just to keep from getting a lecture about, I can handle my own door. I don't need you standing there holding the door open. And I'm going to tell you, ladies, it's happened to us. Guys, the guys will tell you, it's happened to us. We have been head for that. And it's hard. Old habits are hard to break. Hard to break. From my email file, they send me all kinds of things. I get a chance to pass around. If you guys remember back during the election, I was talking about Bill Lockyer is one of my favorite people. He's a Democrat, but he's also an honorable man from all I've seen of him. I hope that he stays that way. I hope that he doesn't disappoint me the way that some others have over the years. But your attorney general is quoted as saying, you know the people in your profession really well. You know who works hard and who doesn't. Cops know about cops. Doctors know about doctors. I know about politicians. And that was explaining why he voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger in this most recent elected election instead of fellow Democrat Cruz Bustamante. And then, of course, Washington Times reports also, Arnold Schwarzenegger can be elected governor of California. Can comedian Dennis Miller unseat Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer? Some Republicans in the Golden State think so and quietly hope they can persuade the sharp political wit and registered Santa Barbara Republican to take on the liberal senator. Variety magazine reported this week that Mr. Miller has contacted the California Republican consultants to fill out a campaign. Bad idea. But I get a kick out of Dennis, but people ought to stick to what they do best. He's a satirist and a comedian. He does that very well, but I can't see him as a serious senator, although I don't see Barbara Boxer as much of a serious senator. Speaking of which, partial birth abortion thing being shut down drew a comment from Barbara. This is a sad day for the women of America, she says, lamenting the passage of a ban on an abortion procedure which entails sucking the brains out of partially delivered babies in order to kill them. Maybe she should use that sad day for women of America as a re-election slogan for the next time round. Dennis Miller might start looking pretty good. And as I float around from one idea to the next, has anybody noticed that you never see Osama bin Laden and Ted Kennedy in the same place at the same time? I wonder if that has any significance. Speaking of the war in Iraq, I don't know if I've discussed this before. I'd like a little feedback because I'm curious. I got a question, and I have an observation to make, and they may or may not fall on deaf ears. George Bush is running around trying to raise what $87 billion to do some more work over there in Iraq, in an impossible situation, and it. We're trying to give those people democracy, and I think what we really need to do if we're going to help them out is to give them capitalism, let them get into that. Alan Reynolds, columnist Alan Reynolds, said that he believed that was also true. He wrote, it seems fair for the United States to repair the damage caused by U.S. bombs. By the way, I don't agree with that. But too much help can be addictive and unhelpful, like welfare. Foreign aid can discourage productive effort and encourage chronic dependency. What Iraq needs most right now is not even democracy, desirable as that may be, but capitalism. And I'm thinking, you know, if we need money, it seems to me, for those folks' freedom, they're sitting on it. And George is a... Everybody knows he's an oil man. He can't figure out how to raise $87 billion when he's sitting on more oil. The largest oil field he'll ever have charge of. And you know, it's a win-win for him. If he just had the gumption, and he starts sucking that oil out of that ground and putting it into ships and sending it over here, now let's have a distress sale. We're trying to raise money, you know, going out of business, getting into business. How about a going into business, a grand opening sale, and bust out OPEC. Drop the price per barrel down to about $10 a barrel, and use the proceeds from that to help rebuild the infrastructure and get everything set up that we had to tear apart to get that country on their way to freedom. After all, it's their freedom. There's never been a thing in the world that was ever given to anybody that they had the right kind of appreciation for. And we did that. George would be a winner about three different ways. First of all, he'd have his money so he could take care of the expenses of taking care of that operation over there. and get things squared away. Secondly, there'd be a lot of people working because it takes a lot of work to produce the kind of oil we'd use. And you know something, folks? If the gas prices dropped under $1 a gallon, if they were delivering fuel at the pump, George W. Bush could do anything he wanted. And to give you an idea how dedicated the liberals are to their principles, he would be popular even in Santa Cruz. If the economy squared away, it wouldn't even matter what the economy was like. It wouldn't matter the circumstances. I believe that, and I guess I'm just getting cynical in my old age, but if gasoline was 50 cent a gallon at the pump, I believe that George W. Bush would not only be reelected by a monster, probably the largest percentage ever, the criticism of him would absolutely stop. But I think they'd even go in there to try to stop that two-term limit. I think that people would elect him king just to keep that gas going, just to give you an idea how shallow the people in this country are. So getting back to women, and I love to talk about the ladies in the 19th Amendment. Mike, did you call in to see if we could repeal the 19th Amendment? Is that why you called?
No, hey, I just came. You know, you're right. Hey, think about this, Richard. Okay, who was it that talked Adam into eating that apple?
Oh, yeah.
It was a woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who was it that cut Samson's hair?
Yeah.
It was a woman. Now, let me ask you this. Who was it that we made power steering for?
That who we made what?
Power steering for in a car. It's for a woman, so a woman could drive a truck and be like a man.
Well, you know, I hadn't thought of that. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is that also why they have the electric doors in the shopping centers? I mean, in the stores you walk in there, so the women...
That's exactly right. Why do we have electronic typewriters?
Well, you're going to tell me it's because of women. They're just weak.
Because the women... No, it's not that. Because women wanted more convenience. Look at almost every major invention and appliance out there is so that the woman has to do less.
They got a name for guys like you, Mike.
Well, hey, you know what my little sister says? And she's right. You know what she said to me? And it was embarrassing.
What was that?
She says, we can be the way we are because Boontang rules.
Because who rules?
Boontang.
Yeah, buddy. I thought you were going to get real close to something I wasn't supposed to say. I don't know. That might get...
I think that one's okay.
We can
set that one by. But I'm just kidding. I mean, I love my wife. But you know, the truth of the matter is, it really is amazing how many modern conveniences have been made so that the woman can have a better life, and yet very little to make the man's life better.
Well, I can start out. Every once in a while, I'll go on this, John, just for the intellectual exercise, you know, just to contemplate the whole thing. But I look at the turn that this country made right after the 19th Amendment, and I think that you could take some of the changes that have happened, and you could probably make a good argument for repealing the 19th Amendment. But like I said, you know they got a name for people like that.
Well, you know how they got the 19th Amendment, don't you?
Well, yeah, a little bit of couch therapy, I believe, is the way they got that, wasn't it?
I don't think it was. I think the women's right to vote came about because they learned how to shoot. You know, you give a woman a gun, all of a sudden they're equals, and how can you deny them a vote when they got guns too?
Yeah, I heard it was couch therapy, but it's the same thing. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, look, I'm coming up on the fish hook. I'm going to lose you.
God love them. I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much, Mike. You'll have me in trouble for the rest of the show, but I'm ready. I can handle it.
Take it easy, Richard.
My friend. Yeah, I did it now, boy. I mean, the phones are lighting up. I am in serious trouble. Rich, come in here and save me. Rich from Santa Cruz. What did I do now?
Well, I agree with white men are under attack because of some of the books that have been written lately. We have the white men can't jump. We have stupid white men. We have...
Oh, yeah. The doofus that... The new doofus on the planet is definitely the white male.
Doofus and buffoons.
Yeah. Yeah, all the commercials, all the TV shows. I'm being fairly lighthearted about this because I got to keep people from pulling up in the parking lot with Uzis. But the fact of the matter is that there's something not funny about it. You know what I mean? At some level, it ceases being funny, and it's like I see the glorification of the homosexual lifestyle, the whole gay movement, and at the same time the denigration of the white American male. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, this can't be a good thing in the long haul.
Right. And then we have that show Home and Prove It, you know.
Oh yeah, there's everybody's capitalizing on the doofus white male. There's no question about that.
I think it's taught right in the universities too, you know, that where the white men has caused all the problems in the world, and now it's time for to disregard him totally.
Yeah, I think it's coming. There's, like I say, underneath the fun that I'm having with this today, there is a serious element to this that I believe needs some attention. I don't know how the white male segment of our society is supposed to bring all that back. I don't even know if it'd be worth the fight. It's almost like you want to sit there and say, okay, you know, go ahead and have it your way, and when you get it so fouled up you can't fix it, then, you know, give us a call and we'll come in and see if we can't help you back out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear.
Anyway, Rich, I appreciate you pointing that out, and we will.
One commercial I remember, the guy is in the kitchen, he's trying to prepare some dinner, and everything is flying and falling on the floor and whatever, and then the kid orders some Chinese food or something like that, and then the wife comes home, and the guy is just looking like he's just totally inept, you know?
Oh, it's
just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's every level. You can see it 50 times a day. The dumb white male is the new, we are in the bag for a while. And
I don't think it's the new. It's been going on for 25 or 30 years.
Well, it's been creeping, but I've never seen it like I've seen it of late. It is absolutely, I think at the start, if you think about it in time, I believe it all began sort of around with Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
And just went downhill from there. But thanks for your call, Rich.
All right.
And Jeannie's standing by. She wants to let me have it. I can do this. I'm not afraid. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Richard. Well, you can open a door for me anytime.
Yes,
you know, I consider that a courtesy when I go through a door, and it happens all the time. The men will open the door for me, whatever age they are, and I say thank you. And so I feel it's a respect for the woman.
Well, Jeannie, there's a certain warmth that a man gets in being able to do that, because I think that it signifies that not only are we prepared to open doors for the ladies, but we're prepared, if we were allowed to fix a flat tire or even dispense fuel. I mean, there's a lot of things that women cut themselves out of.
That's right.
By not appreciating a status in our society that is slowly but surely just eroding away. And that is females are the perpetual matriarchs, and we need that, just like we need the men in the society to be considered useful in the society. We definitely need to have appreciation for our women folk.
Well, that's true, and that's how they divided families, and it's called population control, the radical feminists. And so they gave us this garbage that the women should go out and work and be liberated and be free, and that was the start of destruction of the family, because the woman is really to be in the home and take care of the kids. And, of course, the husband helps, too. But there again, the underlying foundation in all the international conferences I have gone is population control. And there again, it's so important to understand that. Now, Richard, I have a question.
Okay.
I'm driving over the freeway, overpasses, and I see all these Asian people with clipboards and calculators. They're at the Freedom Overpass, Rio Del Mar, 41st Avenue. I mean, is this, and they look Chinese, real Chinese, and I'm thinking, we do outsourcing of jobs where we put our jobs to China and India and Pakistan, but is this called insourcing, where these people from China are coming over and taking our jobs?
Well, that would be interesting to find out. You don't have any idea who's running these? I think they're doing some sort of surveys, but I hadn't noticed that they were of any particular culture.
So maybe Caltrans, someone can call up. Well, I'm going to go down and talk to the county today. But what kind of survey are they doing? And if they're from out of the country, how come the people in Santa Cruz County are not getting the jobs?
Well, we need them. Yeah, even if they're from out of the county, why are they getting the jobs, Jeannie? Thank you very much for noticing that, and I'll do some follow-up on that my own self.
Okay, and thanks for opening the doors for me.
You bet. I always will, ma'am. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
And let me see. Oh, I got a fax, so I'm going to make sure so I can encourage more of these. From Landon in SoCal, John Burton versus Arnie. Why is Burton hell-bent on being a GOP propagandist and arbitrarily launched partisan politics? I read that he gave Arnie the finger yesterday and stated to reporters that he would do everything in his power to stop any new Arnie-based initiatives. Sounds to me like Burton is primed to be recalled. He's a, oh, okay. Landon, I believe we've talked before on the air. You're keeping up with this guy Burton, and I appreciate somebody's watching him. From what I hear, he's not one that all of us would elect to be in charge anyway. I've got Ben from Salinas sitting there, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out whether or not to do it. Ben, I'm going to do this one more time, but I swear to you, if even one name calling a little bit, and I will be burnt out on Ben forever. And with that warning in mind, Ben, here we go. How are you today, sir?
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, don't worry. I do have the power of self-control.
Good. Speaking of power of self-control, just a minute. Let me interrupt you for a second so I can communicate with Rosemary that I'm not going to be able to run my commercials if we don't get this computer back online. And then go ahead and go ahead, Ben.
Okay. Addressing the way the media addresses fatherhood and the American male. Remember an old TV show when you and I grew up called The Life of Riley?
Oh, not only The Life of Riley, which I thought that was a pretty good show, didn't you?
It was funny. Oh, yeah. I enjoyed the come up, but thinking of it in retrospect, he was always made out to be the bumbling buffoon.
Well,
I mean, the father, true, but
that was balanced with the perspective. You remember the Cleavers?
Oh, yeah.
You remember Father Knows Best?
Father Knows Best.
Yeah, you and I were raised in a culture where the head of the household was considered, you know, he was the father figure, the leader figure, the example, the role model.
Dad was king.
Then yeah, and today
Dad had the belt.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. There was that too.
But anyway, what prompted my call was, and I don't know if you were saying this tongue in cheek, but do you really think that the American public would submit to, a sort of a King George simply for the price of gas
anything,
at the pump?
Anything.
Really?
50 cent a gallon gasoline, and they would elect him God.
Well,
I believe that isn't
that kind of a sad statement, though, that we would whore ourselves out for the price of gas?
It's cynical beyond description, and I'm ashamed of myself for even having the thought, and I wonder, as I think that, you know, have I really had such a life?
Yeah.
That I can honestly believe that the people of this country are that messed up that 50 cent a gallon gas would win them over.
Yeah.
And speaking of the oil reserves
that belong to the Iraqi people, are those reserves ours to take and to play into our market, or shouldn't that be the property of the Iraqi people so that they can get their own $87 billion to rebuild their own country? Why do we need to be their interventionist?
Well, that's a good point. I'm looking at.
Yes, sir.
We've paid with some American lives.
Yes, sir. Now you're getting where I'm getting. That's,
okay, but we
that's,
paid.
Our boys and women are dying for dollars over there. And would somebody tell me or Richard Quigley why?
Well, but I'm looking at it from a slightly different angle. You know, there used to be a time where the victor go the spoils.
Yeah, and that's okay.
So that when you go in and you soundly defeat a country,
yeah,
whatever was theirs is yours.
Well, yeah, that's like the Spaniards, the kings and the queens of Europe came and and dig in the cities of gold in South America and Mexico. And of course they want, because you'll find that gold today in the repositories of the Spain and England and the Vatican, and all, which is history runs, of course, who has the gold? It's their gold. And in leaving, I'm going to be a little bit brief. There's one woman who I know is diametrically opposed to everything I'm about, I would believe, but I still find her profoundly attractive, and I've even heard quite beautiful to look at. Margaret. A beautiful woman who has earned my respect, and I know she likes nothing I'm about, but I respect, and if she's a woman that's got the power, I wouldn't want to be against her in the ring. I don't think I'd stand a chance.
Right.
But anyway, and with
you
that...
You never notice when I deal with Margaret on the air, I walk softly.
And I respect Margaret, and I respect many people that are diametrically opposed. As long as we together seek the truth, and I'll get off and let someone else talk.
Yeah, okay, Ben, thank you very much. Appreciate hearing from you today. And that's probably as nice a Ben call as I've ever been able to feel. I enjoyed it very much, Ben. As long as you're willing to start from there, call back anytime. And now we're going to break for a commercial. I always like running those commercials, if for no other reason than to practice my engineering expertise. Welcome back, folks. This is Richard Quigley. I'm at KSCO Radio, Santa Cruz. Doing a little talk show here. Call in lines 479-1080, 477-1340. If we poke or prod or something, you feel like you just cannot resist, call up, give me a piece of your mind. We got a little close to breaking the censor's idea how things were supposed to go today, but I think we slipped through it okay. No pun. Anyway, from an article in Life magazine, quote, "The troops are returning home are worried. We've lost the peace, men tell you. We can't make it stick. Friend and foe alike look you accusingly in the face and tell you how bitterly they are disappointed in you as an American. Never has American prestige in Europe been lower. Instead of coming in with a bold plan of relief and reconstruction, we came in full of evasions and apologies. A great many Europeans feel that the cure has been worse than the disease. The taste of victory has gone sour in the mouth of every thoughtful American I met." But wait a minute. Life magazine went out of business. Oh, that was from January 7th, 1946. Isn't it funny? And they say history repeats itself, but it's just a cliche. We're not doing well. We're not doing as well as we could, I don't believe, over there in Iraq. And I do believe, I really do believe, that we would be well served to go ahead and act like victors. We're trying to reconstruct, or we're trying to put together a form of government for those people over there that they have no idea what it's about. As might be expected, you can't sell a Crayola box to a blind man. You know, these people do not understand what it is that they're being offered. They're not going to be able to compare it as to what. And the worst part of it is that there's so much difference in the peoples in that nation. I'm not altogether sure that Iraq doesn't belong as a republic with several different states, so that these dramatically different views on the world would somehow or other be able to exist within the borders of Iraq. I don't know how that's going to work, but from columnist Bruce Fine, there came a little editorial I thought I'd share with you. It says, to imagine the dawning ICG, which is the Iraqi Governing Council, difficulties in reaching a consensus about Iraq constitution, think of a comparable contemporary counterpart in the United States. The leadership group would consist of President George Bush, Vice President Dick Cheney, House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, former Senator Jesse Helms, former President William Jefferson Clinton, former Vice President Al Gore, Senator Hillary Clinton, Senator Ed Kennedy, Senator Charles Schumer, Ralph Nader, Pat Buchanan, Ross Perot, Representatives John Conyers and Maxine Waters, Jesse Jackson, Lyndon LaRouche, Barbara Sanders, and Arianna Huffington.
Is it this far-fetched to believe that 250 Iraqi convention delegates could negotiate compromises over the constitutional chasms that divide them within the foreseeable future? When will the Bush administration confess that a viable indigenous government of Iraq is neither on the horizon nor feasible, short of a decade or more of U.S. tutelage? And that is the problem with getting that mess over there solved. I mean, the way that we are dealing with the aftermath of the decision to liberate the people of Iraq from what we have declared to them to be a state of government for which they needed liberation. I mean, it relies on them to have a whole lot of confidence in us that we haven't really earned. We haven't demonstrated this incredible shock and awe power to put everything back together. I understand that we're still having trouble getting the electricity online. Now, I realize there's been a lot of good done over there, folks, and don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're not doing the best that we know how to do given what we're looking at, but I think that a change in perspective is going to be very healthy. And I do believe that the $87 billion that we need to help those people restore their government to what we would consider, and look at this is the audacity of this, but what we would consider an acceptable form of government, we're willing to do that at one level, but we're not willing to do what it takes to get there. And that's typical of why it is that our government breaks down, and it all comes down to that politically correct. It is not politically correct for us to go in there and start pumping that oil and selling it on the world market at half of what OPEC's getting, in spite of the fact that it would give us every financial advantage. First of all, it would put the expense of that war into the land that is being liberated. Those people would not benefit necessarily from the dollars directly, immediately, but they most certainly would benefit if we're going to insist that they're going to benefit from our being there. They would benefit, in fact, in the long term. So either we believe that they're going to benefit from our intervention and we use their money to pay for it, and at the same time use the advantage to bust out OPEC so that we're not paying $2 to $3 a gallon for gas this time next year. It can get down to 50 cents a gallon again. You folks remember when gas hit $1 a gallon the first time? They were telling us that the reason for that price was is that oil had started selling for $25 a barrel. Well, I believe, I haven't looked at the market lately, but the last numbers I heard put oil right at or just under $25 a barrel, and we're paying, you know, have been in Santa Cruz anyway for the last few weeks, right at $2 a gallon for your base regular gas. So what's the reason for that? If oil was selling for $50 a gallon, okay, there, that's what translates in. But on the other hand, if we start pumping that Iraqi oil, if we focus our attention on opening the oil fields and pumping the oil, loading up the ships, getting that oil available to the foundries, the people that turn it into gasoline, that get it to them at $10 a barrel. Get it to the rest of the world at $10 a barrel. OPEC will absolutely have to back off whatever they're doing now, and they would have to follow the lead. It makes perfect sense to do this. It may not be politically correct. It might bruise a few feelings. But we've already got that problem anyway. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I honest to God believe that at 50 cents a gallon, I'd be pretty impressed with what my government was doing. If they managed to get things together to where the whole infrastructure did not collapse, the government didn't fall in on itself, and I could go down and buy fuel for 50 cents a gallon, I would believe that my government was doing a great job. And I don't think that I'm that far out of sync with the rest of the world at that level. I mean, the rest of this country. I do believe that the American people would build monuments to George Bush if he would act that direction and with that kind of strength. And speaking of which, I'll bet the people in Santa Cruz County don't even know that right now the unions in the state of California are in as big a danger as they've ever been in the history of the state. And it's all over grocery stores, because in Santa Cruz, I know of no stores that are currently being picketed.
I know that Bonds Market, and I understand, let me see, who did Bonds buy? I think Bonds bought Safeway, and Stater Brothers bought Ralph's or Albertsons, or maybe both. I don't know, but there's a couple companies that are just about handling all of this stuff, and we've got strikes going on right now in Southern California. They're very much aware of it. For some reason, it hasn't happened here. And there are people that believe that the reason the Safeways here are still called Safeways and not Bonds is because all the Bonds markets in California are supposed to be on strike. Well, look at what this is about, because this is where we're at. And the retail grocery people are not going to back off. This is about the cost of health insurance. And the whole fight is a copay. What's happened is that the grocery stores have said that the cost of the medical insurance has gone up so high, and the use of the medical facilities of their employees has gone off the scale. And what they are asking for, what they're demanding that the unions do, is accept instead of 100% medical coverage. What they found is that if they attach a cost to going to the doctor, a $5 cost to going to the doctor will reduce the number of office visits by people somewhere upwards of 20-25%. A $15 cost copay, where the person that uses the medical insurance pays $15 of the office visit, whatever the charge is, that it drops the number of office visits by better than half. Now, that means that there are people going to the doctor because they're bored. And they won't throw away $15 for boredom, but if it's free, 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 they're off and running, which is that on the grander scale, that's the very problem with socialized medicine. So the fight's going on right now, and the union's saying, no, we're not going to back off. You cannot take away a benefit that we've had for all these years. We struck, we earned it, it's been part of our contract. We are not going to give it up. And at the same time, the stores are saying, well, no, we're not going to move on this because we cannot afford the extreme high cost of the medical care that is charging people that do have insurance to pay for services to those people that don't have insurance. And that stems back, of course, to the day where the hospitals can no longer refuse service to anybody. They've got to let somebody in whether there's a chance they'll ever pay or not. So that the people that pay fall in that one less than 1 in 10 column, which means that they end up being charged 10 times what it would normally cost if everybody was paying, and away we go, on and on. But right now, the grocery industry has taken a hard stand. As I understand it, I will have one half or the other. I got a 50-50 chance of getting this right. But the contracts ran out at Ralph's, is my understanding, Stater Brothers. So they went on strike over this issue. As I understand it, Bonds turned around and joined them with performing a lockout of their union employees on this issue. So right now, outside this listening area, or at least on the skirts of this listening area, people are probably aware that these strikes are going on and how crucial they are. Here in Santa Cruz, we haven't seen the effect of it. But you folks keep an eye on this, because the future of the unions in the state of California is hanging in the balance. These guys are going to have to be smart about what they do, because if they don't accept this copay, trust me when I tell you that the grocery industry is not going to back off. They understand. They've already done the numbers. They cannot afford to have employees that are making the equivalent of $80 to $90 an hour based on the fact that the cost of medical insurance. And if they're not making it now, they will be in the near future because of the escalating medical costs. And all they're doing is asking for that $15 copay on these visits. But the union they're standing tough, right? And of course, you can't blame them either. They worked hard to get the benefit packages that they've got for their members. But this could be the death rattle. This could be the beginning of the end for the unions in California. Teamsters are looking at it. They're going to back the strikes. I mean, we're looking at some serious rough times ahead for the unions. And it all goes back to this whole problem with socialized medicine, which everybody wants to blame on not closing the borders. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We don't need to close the borders if we just shut down the buffet. If we shut down the buffet, those people will come here and they will come here to work. And we don't have to worry about patrolling the borders and keeping them from coming in. I know people thinking I'm wacko because I go down this. I don't care. I've watched these other states. They don't have near the problem that California does. And it's not because we're butted up next to Mexico. It's because we are the most socialist of the 50s. Well, New York might run close to us. But it's because of all this socialism that we got running rampant in this state. And we're destroying ourselves. It's not the Mexicans that are coming in. Speaking of which, Steve pointed out that they're arresting the Mexicans hanging around some of these parking lots, the Kmarts and the like, but they're not arresting them in Santa Cruz. And he wondered why that was. These day laborers, I have no idea, Steve. The reason I didn't take it on today is because I don't know. But anyway, that's, you know, this grocery store strike thing. If you got the internet, check on it. If it comes by on television, don't pay small regard to it. Pay attention to what they're talking about. But the big thing is over the medical and the medical insurance and keeping the medical insurance in line and all that. And it's going to remain a problem. It's going to put us in jeopardy. We've got a lot of things to consider as a society about how we're going to react to this. And by the way, that the worst side of this is that if the unions prevail and the stores do, in fact, yield ultimately, which I don't believe they will, the cost of you and me getting through another day is going to be just that much greater. Again, going back to the doctors, who are my favorite guys who like to overcharge for everything. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for another Thursday. I'm about done. I appreciate the calls that came in today. Good talking with you folks. I hope we've opened a couple of doors, opened a couple of ideas you hadn't dealt with before. This is KSCO, Santa Cruz, California. This is Richard Quigley. I've been your host. Look forward to seeing you next Thursday. Thank you, Michael.